What is Trumponomics, Mr. President? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Donald Trump, along with Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, and Gary Cohn, the Director of the National Economic Council, sat down in the Oval Office for a conversation with editors from The Economist magazine the other day to talk about the administration's approach to the economy. That issue is out this morning, and joining us is Zanny Minton-Beddoes, Editor-in-Chief of The Economist. Zanny, thanks for joining us here.
Good to talk to you, David.
So you asked President Trump, what is Trumponomics and how does it differ from standard Republican economics? What'd he say?
He focused a lot on trade, telling us that there needed to be a massive renegotiating of NAFTA. We needed to have much more reciprocality in trade. He did also talk about tax cuts and deregulation. Interestingly, he said that the tax cuts could increase the deficit in the short term. But for me, the striking thing was that in his definition, Trumponomics is really primarily about the economic nationalism side, the trade side.
Now, on this theme of trade, you spoke at length about the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, Canada-Mexico, which Trump during the campaign said he would get rid of. Now they're talking about renegotiating. Did you get a sense of what specifically wants changed?
No, he's quite difficult to follow sometimes when you get to specifics. But I did get the very clear sense that it had to be big, but he also said it could be flexible.
Another key part of Trumponomics is what to do about taxes. He's proposing big cuts for business individuals on the business side, cutting the corporate rate to 15%. But this could increase the deficit. What did the president say about that?
He was fine about it increasing the deficit. He said Trump priming was okay. He felt the economy needed a boost, and it was fine if in the short term the deficit increased. The goal was longer term growth, and in his view, that was the way to get there.
Priming, that's the strategy, although we do have on paper what looks like a fairly strong economy right now.
That's exactly right. The Keynesian idea of pump priming is one that is usually thought of as a tool to get an economy out of recession. Right now, we're pretty close to full employment.
Now, on the cover of The Economist out today is the headline, Trumponomics and Why It's Dangerous. Why did you choose dangerous?
Well, because I think in the medium term, it really is dangerous. And let me explain why. I think there's an internal inconsistency in Trumponomics, if you will, because on the one hand, the president wants to get trade deficits down. On the other hand, he wants to get more investment and faster growth. And, you know, both economic logic and history suggest that if you're going to have a boom in investment, you are likely to have a larger trade deficit in the short term. And the other, perhaps more important one, is that the sort of desire to see good trade as fair trade, as a smaller trade deficit, seems to me to be not only the wrong way of thinking about the economy, it's not really focusing on the really deep economic problems or challenges that America now has, which have much more to do with automation and how to cope with the disruption that comes from, you know, everything from, if you look at retail, for example, huge disruption that's coming from e-commerce and so forth. And the president's view of the American economy strikes me as a very old-fashioned and somewhat blinkered one that is focused on manufacturing heavy industries and not really the doesn't really think about the challenges facing the 21st century economy.
That interview with the president and his economic team took place on the same day the House passed the health care bill, but before the firing of the FBI director. The Economist special issue on Trumponomics is out today. Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor of The Economist. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the live numbers here. The 100 share index in London is down a point. S&P and NASDAQ futures are down 0.2%. Dow future down 0.1%, 22 points there. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.39%. And so much excitement about prospects for the disappearing message service Snapchat when its stock began trading in March. Not so much now with its first quarterly results since the initial public offering showing that growth has stalled. That little reveal happened after the market closed yesterday, and in pre-market trading now, Snap stock is down a dramatic 22%. We'll have profits and losses from Macy's, Nordstrom's, and Kohl's today. JCPenney's tomorrow, with stores closing because of online competition in part. Quarterly results may follow the downward trend. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on what is a difficult juggling act for retailers.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the retail sector lost almost 30,000 jobs in the first 3 months of this year. Krishna Magoon is CEO of Amplify Investments. He says not only are physical stores closing,
we're seeing record numbers of bankruptcy filings by retailers. In fact, it's now exceeded the amount of bankruptcy filings from the financial crisis of 2008.
He says expect a lot of well-known names in retail to disappear. Oliver Chin follows retail for Cowan & Company Financial Services. He says one bright spot among department stores is Nordstrom for two reasons. Their discount outlet Nordstrom Rack has done well, and their online store is better than most. But they're still battling diminished foot traffic from the ultimate online department store, Amazon.
These department stores are houses of other people's brands. And if you can really get these products from other sources, Nordstrom has to be that much better.
He says Nordstrom and its brick-and-mortar cousins need to up their tech game. They need their own artificial intelligence, voice recognition, and big data to predict what people want to buy. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And another number before we go, 0.69%. That's the increase in the interest charged on new student loans for undergraduates, the ones lent by the Department of Education. The hike, effective July, moves the rate from 3.76 to 4.45%. Borrow 20 grand, and that's about $800 more in interest. 4 years ago, the Obama administration and Congress decided to more closely link student loan rates to market rates, and interest rates in America, as you've noticed, are going up. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.